Welcome to the Rhea Earth Podcast. This is a gateway to your new reality, where you'll find that everything you need exists within you. I'm so excited for today's episode because it is a collaboration with all of you. We're going to do a Q&A style today based on questions that you all sent in via Instagram a few days ago. So with that, let's just dive right in. The first question is, how do I stop comparing myself to others and caring what other people think? So with everything that we talk about here, we always start with the idea that you are the universe. You are not your body and mind. You are not the patterns or thoughts that exist in your body and mind. You are a universal being. You are consciousness. And so is everyone else. So from that point of view, there is no one to compare yourself to. We are all one shared consciousness together, experiencing life as individual humans. So when you find yourself stuck in a pattern of comparison, go back to that foundational truth. And you might wonder, if we're all the same consciousness, why do we exist in separate human bodies? Ultimately, we'll never know that answer from the perspective of a human body. But I like to think that as consciousness, we want to experience the fullness of life, every possible aspect that could ever exist. And so, while our consciousness, while the essence of our being, is the one connected universal consciousness, our bodies and minds are unique. We have patterns, skills, gifts, abilities that have built up over time in this one body and mind that we can use to bring truth, love, and beauty into the world. And so from that perspective, you start with the universal consciousness that you are, and then you can layer on top of it this unique human body and mind that you happen to exist in at this moment in time. And looking through that lens, you'll realize that there is nobody on this earth who has ever existed or ever will exist that will say something exactly like you would say it. There is nobody that has had your life experience and seen the world through your eyes. Life comes down to building your unique perspective and sharing it. And that doesn't necessarily mean having a platform and creating content, but it could be using your own unique view on the world to impact your community locally or your family, you know, at work, or even just making an impact on people you connect with while you're walking down the street. And that brings me into the next question pretty nicely. So the next one is, how do I relate with low vibrational souls and stay in my power or oneness? And from that perspective that we were just exploring, we are this one universal consciousness together. There are no low vibrational souls. We are all one universal being together. There might be conditioned patterns of thinking or behavior that exist in certain bodies and minds that feel like they're not in harmony. But those patterns and ways of thinking are not who they are. One of my favorite spiritual teachers, Rupert Spira, says, We're not called to like everyone, but we are called to love everyone. So even if behavior of a certain person feels what you might call low vibrational, beneath that behavior, they are the same as you. We are one consciousness together. And so I think part of your existence on the earth is to see that in other people and make them believe that they are that one universal consciousness. Because when that behavior pattern that again feels maybe low vibrational falls away and they recognize their true nature, it is an amazing thing to witness. It feels like nothing else. You know, it's that beautiful connection you have with someone you have just met and you don't know why. Why does this person feel familiar? Why do I feel like I've met them before or knew them in a previous life? It's because we're all connected. We are all that one universal consciousness. So remember that the next time you are interacting with someone who you believe to be low vibrational, I want you to remember who they are, really, and treat them as you would treat yourself. Start there. The next question is, how do I deal with anger? And related is also how to show my boundaries, but without holding on to anger. So anger, just like any other feeling, happiness, sadness, fear, is an emotion that exists in your body, or it's a patterned behavior. And I think the thing that's been most helpful for me, just growing and experiencing and feeling my emotions, is to look at them as almost an algorithm. There is this trigger and response cycle that happens in our bodies and minds when we experience certain things. And it can be very surface level. You know, maybe every time you're stuck in traffic, you feel anger rising up within you. And it just is cut and dry, black and white. Experience traffic, become angry. Or it can be much more complicated than that. So could be a series of events that occur all in a very similar fashion. So, you know, a specific example would be seeing an old friend from high school and that anger, or again, whatever emotion it is, insecurity, fear, or on the positive side, happiness, joy. Those things can be triggered by memories or experiences that you associate with that person that all build up within your body and mind. So you can't quite put your finger on why you're feeling anxious or angry in this moment, but your body remembers all the times in high school that they slighted you or didn't see you for who you were. So that can be a more subtle representation of an emotion that shows up in you. But again, it's just a pattern. Whether it's straightforward or very complicated, they are just patterns of behavior that exist in your body and mind. If you've ever read The Body Keeps Score, it talks a lot about this concept of emotions remaining in your body and mind long after, you know, any specific experience has occurred. And with anything, the way to overcome those emotions or what can feel like a cycle that you're stuck in is to, number one, face it, acknowledge it. Because as soon as you have the awareness of, I am feeling angry or anger is rising up in me now, it takes some of the power away from it. Because when you try and resist something, you're giving it power. You're saying, this thing has power over me and I am allowing it to control my actions. But when you face it and you look at it and you say, I am separate from this thing that is occurring in my body, it immediately reduces its level of importance. And that is the key truly to making any change in your life, really. Instead of trying to overcome something, reduce its level of importance. Don't give it power. So with anger and boundary setting, that is another pattern that exists in your body and mind. For me, boundary setting brings up tears immediately. I don't know if that was a symptom of a child who was trying to make everyone happy all the time. You know, I am a chronic people pleaser. And so anytime I try and set a boundary in my life, I feel unsafe. I feel like I won't be loved, or I'm going to get in trouble, or something bad is going to happen. And so that pattern of set boundary, start crying, happens all the time. But the way I've been able to move through that is, you need to, in the moment that you're feeling that emotion rise in your body, instead of trying to stop it, go towards it. Go into it, explore it. Where is this coming from? How does it feel? What are the actual sensations I feel in my body right now? You know, if I'm about to cry or I feel emotional when I'm setting a boundary, I will actually, for a moment, just a split second, take the time to feel the space that exists behind my eyes where those tears are being created. I will feel the tingling in my stomach or my hands that indicates that I'm nervous. I'll break down what nervous even means. When you break down your emotions, your feelings into almost like an atomic level, again, you're reducing its importance. It doesn't have control over you when you can just turn and face it and say, hey, I see you there. Let's experience this together. So I hope that helps. Give that a try next time you set a boundary. I know it's so hard. All right, the next question is, I keep running away from things and keep myself stuck in old patterns. Why? And this is very closely related to what we were just talking about with anger and emotions, or avoiding any kind of pattern in your body and mind. So anytime you avoid anything, an emotion, a pattern, a trigger, you're giving it power over you. So I'll use a very specific example that I love to use, procrastination, which in itself is a pattern and is the habit of avoiding. So the more, like if I am procrastinating, I am, number one, avoiding the thing that I know I either want to or should do. And number two, I am reinforcing the pattern of procrastination in my body and mind. And in that procrastination, I believe that it's like this weird relationship between short and long-term thinking that happens in your body and mind. You want to feel good in the moment, and so you procrastinate, or you do something else that gives you kind of that short-term hit of dopamine, whether it be using alcohol to escape, playing a game, just avoiding your problem or feeling in any particular way. You think that you are making yourself feel better in that short term, but it's just allowing whatever you're avoiding to have more power over you in the long term. So you're giving the thing you fear more power. And then you're also not reaching your long-term goals because you're taking that short-term hit of dopamine, joy, a rush of emotion. And that is a cumulative effect in your body. So it's like compounding interest almost, right? Everything compounds. Whatever you do consistently is what you'll get better at. So if you are in a constant cycle of avoidance, you're going to get better at avoiding things. Your mind and body will come up with different ways to have you avoid a certain situation or create the perfect environment for that avoidance. So again, it really comes down to being present with yourself. When you acknowledge that you are avoiding or running away or running a pattern in your body and mind that you've seen over and over again, stop, take a moment, and really look at that thing that is happening within you. Acknowledge it. Don't let yourself be whisked away in the automation that's occurring within your body. Turn and face it. Ground yourself in the moment and make a different choice. Something fascinating I was reading recently is that humans experience the present moment in 3-second chunks. So, you know, our experience of the now is really in these 2.5 to 3 second time intervals. So shaking hands, laughing, saying hello, these are all short periods of time that, you know, once it gets past that 3 second mark, it feels like it's in the past. And, you know, I've said before, you are reborn every millisecond. So I think it's even shorter than 3 seconds, really, that you have the opportunity to make different choices. And that is such a powerful idea. You are not stuck with who you are right now, or 3 seconds from now, or 1 second from now. You can change your life every time you blink your eyes, every time you take an action. You have an option to be who you want to be. You are not stuck with any conditioned pattern, behavior, circumstance, anything. You are reborn every millisecond with a new thought. So choose who you want to be. All right, next we have, why can't I be myself with others? I feel like I have a completely different personality, depending on who I'm talking to. This is one I'm very familiar with. I have a tendency to shift who I am depending on where I am or what I'm doing or who I'm talking to. You know, it stems from really not recognizing our true nature. In our human bodies and minds, we have felt safe and secure when we're part of a tribe, when we belong. And so those primal instincts show themselves in many different ways. But I think a lot of the times it can make you feel like you need to go along to get along, or you really want to be liked, you want to be accepted, you want to feel needed, you want to feel loved and safe. But here we are again, going back to this one idea that you are the universe experiencing itself from a very specific perspective, and so is everyone else. Sit with that for a moment and let that unfold in your mind. If everyone I am talking to is also the universal consciousness that I am, there is no need to be afraid. There is no need to be anyone else other than who you are right now. There was a beautiful video I saw recently, and I can't remember for the life of me who it was, but she said someone asked her, "Who are you uninterrupted?" And I want you to think about that. Who are you uninterrupted? Be that person. That is the universal being within you. And every single one of us has the power to bring forth that universal consciousness at any given time and be this human uninterrupted. It feels free, it feels flowing, it feels confident and secure and joyful, and you're looking for connection instead of always seeing the differences in others. And so when you can get your body to that state over and over and over again, you don't need to pretend to be someone else to get along in a certain group environment. That universal consciousness will come from within you and inspire others to allow their universal consciousness to shine through as well. And it creates this amazing harmony. I don't know if you've ever had that experience where you're talking with friends or family members or teammates and you just feel the underlying harmony. It's just that joy and comfort and safety. That is your true nature. So start there and you will inspire others to feel that same way. All right. The next one is how to let go of a broken relationship, and then also related, just relationships from a spiritual perspective. I really hate to sound like a broken record here, but we're going to go back to that foundational idea that you are the universe experiencing itself from one specific perspective. In a relationship, there is no other. So if you truly want to fix a broken relationship, begin with that in mind. This person is not separate from me. They are the love, the universal consciousness that I am. And how would I treat them if I truly believed that? And that goes for relationships you're in now, relationships you want to be in, friendships, partnerships, business relationships. Really, if you begin from that point of view, that you are one universal consciousness together, you will create a connection like you have never felt before. So start there. I'll probably do a whole episode really on relationships, but for now, start there. All right, the next one is, where do you find your information to make your videos? I like to look at myself as kind of a translator. I get the most joy from learning and then sharing what I've learned. So my information comes from a variety of sources. Again, that could be spiritual teachers, ancient books, or just connections with others. I always have probably 4 or 5 books that I'm reading at any given time, but that I don't read them quickly. My habit is really to read a little bit of a lot of things and pull them together. If any of you are familiar with human design, I am a manifesting generator, which again, that is a pattern that exists in my body and mind, so take it with a grain of salt, but I very much am that personality of kind of the generalist. I like to have broad, sweeping explorations that bring things together in new and interesting ways. And that is my true joy in life. So probably after this, I'll put together a book list of maybe the most important books or teachers that have had an impact on my work and my kind of way of thinking, if that's helpful. All right, the next one is, what's your opinion on reality shifting and astral projection? I don't have too much experience with astral projection, but I very much believe in the possibility and potential of reality shifting. I think it really stems from the concept of the now, the eternal now. So everything existing all at once, right? Everything everywhere all at once. And I can't know for sure, but this is just my own personal kind of experience and feeling around it. But I don't imagine that there are, you know, an infinite number of me's out there physically doing something slightly different at any given time. The way I like to look at it is I am existing in this human body and mind, and my experience, my physical experience, is grounded in this reality at this moment. And at any given time, there is the potential for me to create and shift into a new version of me. I really do believe that everything that could ever exist and ever will exist or ever has existed is all already complete. So from a human perspective, we feel like we're moving through time, past and future, on this kind of linear projection of life. But if you think about reality as a, you know, book, where from the reader's perspective, we're experiencing it from beginning to end. But if you were to open it at any page, you could kind of jump from point to point. And that book in itself is whole already. So it's already written. You're just kind of choosing your own adventure. And maybe the book is not the best analogy in this case, because I don't think that there's only one path that you go down. I think you actually, by way of changing your internal state, you allow your physical body to create the external around you. So by making a different choice every day, or like we were talking about, every millisecond, you are taking the potential unexpressed into physical reality. And you have to look at this from the universal perspective. So a lot of people would say, well, if everything's already decided, where is free will come into play? Do I just have no choice? And no, I think it's the exact opposite. I think from the universal consciousness perspective, you literally, all you have to do is reach out and choose the reality you want to experience. And it's as simple as that. And we overcomplicate it so, so much. You know, we make it this process, and it's very difficult, and it takes time and all these things. And I think there are certain physical things that do take time. For example, if you want to change your body, there is time that has to pass in order for you to see change in your body. But if you start with seeing that version of you on the inside, you start with your internal, then you will bring that physical difference into physical reality. But it starts very much with your internal state and your belief. That is probably another entire episode just on reality shifting, which I definitely will do in the future. The next one is how to increase my willpower. And I think this one is related to motivation and discipline too. I'll connect the three there. And this is one I've struggled with in my life too. There are things that I have felt like I should want to do, that I want to create discipline or willpower around. So for example, let's use exercise because that's an easy example. You know, I feel like I should be a person that wants to wake up and go to the gym every day and have this crazy morning routine. But I've realized recently that I think it's less about creating discipline and willpower and finding what you truly enjoy, and then there is no willpower required. And I think you can create that joy by either doing something consistently for a long time and then you will start to love it, or taking the time to be gentle with yourself and exploring when you actually feel in flow, when you feel joy. So again, back to the exercise example, I have tried literally everything in my life to be a person that exercises. You know, anything from CrossFit, all the classes, Orange Theory, strength training, running, you name it, I have tried it. And I have always hated it. I mean, there have been short periods of time where I've seen success and I have seen a little progress and felt good about it. But I've never said to myself, this is something I can stick with for the rest of my life and find joy in. But in the last 6 months, I've started walking. So my husband and I take 10-mile walks almost every day, and it has changed my life. Because I actually love it. I actually feel like I'm in the present moment. I am not trying to avoid doing this thing that is actually very good for my body. And it is so incredibly freeing to feel that I have found something that I want to do for the rest of my life and can do for the rest of my life that is going to help my physical body. So I think you have to do that with everything. For example, if you want to be a writer, but you hate writing, that's going to be a problem. Matthew Dix, he's the author of a book called Storyworthy, which is fantastic. Definitely worth a read if you haven't read it. He says, most writers like the idea of having written instead of the actual process of writing. And so I want you to question that in your mind. You know, if there's something that you feel like you have to create willpower or discipline around, I want you to look at it objectively and say, do I actually want to do this thing? Do I love this? Because I think that it's really about finding something that you love and can do for a very long period of time where you'll feel like, I never need to create discipline and willpower and motivation for any of this. I am internally motivated to do this thing because I love it. And a related question here is, how do you tap into or allow flow when you're creating words or music for your meditations? And this is related to what we were just talking about. I think flow comes from allowing instead of forcing. So with the exercise example, you know, I spent a lot of time forcing myself to be a certain way, but that never felt like flow. Whereas something as simple as walking and being in nature feels like a natural flow and is easy for me. So the same thing goes with creation. I think number one, you have to find something that you truly love just for the sake of it. You're not doing this thing because you want validation, you want praise, you want money, fame, anything. Whatever you're trying to create, it has to be because you truly love it and you love the process of it. That's one of the most important things that I think we kind of forget, is that flow is really the process of creating something. A lot of times we look at the artistic process as the outcome. You know, I've created this painting, I've created this album, I made a meditation, a YouTube video, whatever it is. You're focused on the outcome instead of the actual process and the enjoyment of it. And when you force yourself to do something that you don't actually love, or your intention, you know, is to achieve the outcome and get the reward for whatever it is you're creating, then it will always feel forced. It's so cliche, but it really is. Life is about the journey, not the destination. You have to fall in love with the process of creating to be able to create regularly. On a practical level, I do think, you know, there are patterns that exist in our body and minds that want to avoid that feeling of flow because it can feel like you're out of control. I do think it's more of a channeling and allowing that universal consciousness to come through you than your actual conscious mind sitting down and hammering out a creation, whatever it is. So I do find times where I know I want to write. There's some part of me that wants to sit down and write or make music or something. And there are two things that I do in that case. When I know I want to do something, but I'm not doing it, I will either sit down and say, I'm just going to work on this for 5 minutes. And usually what happens is when I allow myself just those 5 minutes of creating, then I will tap into that natural kind of vein of universal consciousness and just allow it to take me. And I might not go from A all the way to Z in terms of the creation process. I might jump around and, you know, work on a song here and work on a little bit of writing here and record something quickly there. But I'm allowing myself to find that pathway of harmony and creation. So that's the first thing that I'll do, is sit down, say I have 5 minutes, and let's just see what we can do. Or I will say, you know, I'm not going to force myself to do this right now. I'm going to do something completely different. I'm going to go outside. I'm going to read a book. I'm going to take my mind away from consciously trying to create the thing. And then usually I'll have an idea 5 minutes into doing something else. I'll have an idea and I'll run back to my computer and have to write something down or jot down, you know, a quick note on my notebook. Those two things have helped me if I'm feeling particularly uncreative. And I always, always recommend if you feel stuck, go out in nature, feel the presence around you, take your conscious mind out of the equation, because your conscious mind is not where the universal, beautiful flow and creation comes from. You are channeling, things are coming through you, they are not coming from you. And really, yes, it is you as the universe creating, but it is not your physical body and mind creating. And I think a lot of times we try and say, oh, this physical body and mind that I'm in right now needs to be perfect at this thing. But you can't be perfect at everything. Just let the universe take over. All right, this is a big one and something that probably deserves its own episode also. I have a lot of those today. But the next question here is, what was the first step you took when it came to putting your vision to action? The first step in putting your vision to action is taking action. It's truly as simple as that. What is the smallest thing you can do towards whatever your intuition is telling you to do? So if you have a big creative vision, something you want to create, something you want to start, what is the smallest step you can take? For example, if it's starting a podcast or a YouTube channel, don't think about, I have to create 50 videos. Think about, what is the first thing I want to talk about? What are 3 bullet points about this topic I'm so interested in? And then take it from there. Let yourself be led through the action, putting one step in front of the other instead of trying to make it this big, overarching, I want to start a business and so I have to be perfect at everything the first day I start. Taking any kind of action is literally about taking action. If you're planning how to take action, you're not taking action. Create more than you consume. Put your thoughts out into the world. Start to build connections. Just do something. Just start. All right, last question for today is, what makes you feel joy and be successful in your career and relationships? And I think this is a great one to end on because really it's a combination of everything we've talked about today. You can have a very joyful life if you allow yourself to recognize that you are more than your body and mind, and that everyone else is more than their body and mind. When you stop trying to control certain outcomes or control people's reactions or create a certain pathway that you think will make you happy, and you start to allow yourself to relax back into the universal being that you are, everything that you experience becomes this joyful investigation. Even the most painful experiences, I'm not going to say they're joyful, but you can take something from it. You can say, where is the beauty in this painful moment? What does the pain feel like in my body? What is the sensation that I'm feeling now? How can I use this to help others? And I think that's really the answer to success in life, leading a life of happiness or joy, is to recognize the universal being that you are and recognize that same being in others. And just live your life accordingly. All right, we are going to end there for today, but I absolutely love questions with you, and I definitely will do another Q&A episode in the future. Thank you again for listening, and I am so grateful that you're here. Always remember, everything you need exists within you.